Blessed be the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
From the rising of the sun to the going of the same, the name of the Lord is daily and evermore to be praised.
Amen.
In the wonderful name of Jesus, we are created for that very purpose, to bless his name and to worship him. What else can we give unto the Lord? See, but to render unto him praise and thanksgiving. He has given everything else unto us. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto his name.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, for the time of rejoicing in the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, O Lord God, Lord, darkness covering the earth and gross darkness the people. As you have said, Lord, in the tabernacle of the righteous, always be light.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
So much light that you see we also we are the light of the world.
Amen.
Just help us day by day to let this light so shine that men will sit and glorify not us, but our Father in heaven,
Amen.
Who is that light who is in us,
Amen.
In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you as we share the scriptures tonight, Lord. Let it be like on the way to Emmaus. Did not our heart burn within us as he expanded the scripture unto us? Lord, know thou art in us today in the Holy Ghost. Lord, there is no difference.
Amen.
So, Lord, as we read tonight, Lord, let there be a blessing left. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Our Jewish friend, as you all know, beginning from tomorrow, they're going to have what they call the Hanukkah festival, right? So yeah, festival of life, you know. I had some Christians join them, I don't know what basis though. That's okay, praise the Lord. So they call it Hanukkah, or they call it the festival of life, you know. So like I said, they begin from tomorrow and the next 8 days. Basically, it's a celebration, this Hanukkah thing. Yeah, it begins from tomorrow, yes.
Tomorrow?
8 days, that's what they do.
Days.
Yes, 8 days. So, and basically, it's a celebration, they call it Hanukkah or Chanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts from tomorrow, 12, 10, 2020, for the next 8 days. What it is this. It commemorates the rededication during the 2nd century BC of the Second Temple in Jerusalem. Where, according to legend, Jews had risen up against their Greek Syrian oppressors in the Maccabean revolt. Hanukkah in Hebrew means dedication. So in Hebrew, it means dedication, right? It begins on the 25th of the month of Kisi in Hebrew, or the Hebrew calendar, and usually it falls around November or December each year, you know. So often called the Festival of Light, like our brother said, the holiday is celebrated with the lighting of the menorah, you know. Traditional foods are eaten, games and gifts are given. So they are doing that, you know, to their friends, right? God blended them so that we might be grafted in, right?
Exactly.
So we are brethren, actually, when it's all said and done. But we are all, you know.
Now,
the question is this. What this festival mentioned in the scripture at all? Not in the Torah, but it's mentioned one place in the Bible. And I want to read from John chapter 10. Tonight, the feast of the dedication. That is the subject. The feast of the dedication. Don't forget that Hanukkah means dedication, right?
Yes.
So tonight, the feast of the dedication. In John chapter 10, following the events of chapter 9, where that man that was born blind, the Lord opened his eyes, all kind of things are wrote, the jealousy of the Jews. The same jealousy that sent the Lord Jesus to the cross, to the cross and all of that, you know. So that's this portion of the 10th chapter of John chapter 10, beginning from verse 14. The Lord, among other things, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore does my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There was a division, therefore, among the Jews for these things. And many of them said, he hath a devil. at his mouth while hear ye him. Others said, these are not the words of him that has a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And now, guys, I'm going. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication. And it was winter. You see that? It was winter. Even back then, you know, when they do this and look at it around November, December, that's winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So tonight, that place, the feast of the dedication that the Lord spoke about there and so on, that, you know. Now, so why would the Lord attend the feast of the dedication? It's not even in the Torah. This is the only place we know it in the Bible, really, where it is mentioned. Why would the Lord do that? We see it down the road, you know. It must have some meaning why the Lord will be there, you know. So, anyway, so that takes us to prophecy. Back to the prophecies of Daniel, you know, tonight, some prophetic thing or review, if you want to call it that way, and so that, you know, and see the origin of these things is all prophesied ahead of time. In Daniel chapter 8, it's where we begin tonight. Daniel 8:1, to see where this originated from and how it portrays prophecies and future events, you know. Maybe now, in the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared unto me, even unto me, Daniel, after that which appeared unto me at the fourth. Don't forget chapter 7, the Lord expanded to him Nebuchadnezzar's vision, but that time, in time of beast, you know, in his own case. And I saw in a vision, and it came to pass, when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam. If you are wondering where these are in the world, this Shushan is just west of Iran and southwest of Iran area, you know, that's where these areas are. Even they are called different names today, but that's where they are. No, so Susa. They call it Susa, but they are all there, you know, Bible is true. Anyway, and I saw a vision, and I was by the river of Ulai. That river is still there today. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns. And the two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward, and northward, and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will, and became great. And as I was considering, behold, an eagle came from the west on the face of the whole earth, and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And I saw him came close unto the ram, and he was moved with choler, meaning with anger, you know, moved with choler against him, and smote the ram, and broke his two arms, and there was no power in the ram to stand before him. But he cast him down to the ground, and stamped upon him, and there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. Therefore the eagle waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great arm was broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four wings of heaven. Now, that's the vision that Daniel had, you know, second one that he had. He had some one in chapter 7. Now, what is the interpretation? Well, we will let the scripture interpret itself, amen. That's a very, very important principle in the Bible. And that is in 2 Peter 1:20. Knowing this first, even if you don't know anything, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Amen. That they say mathematics, the first principles, right? Mm-hmm. Don't let it one depart from your heart, no matter what you hear or hear you don't hear. No this first, no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. Mm-hmm. So let the scripture explain itself, what this vision really says. Let's go to verse 20. Let's see what the Bible interprets. The ram, without sweat, having two horns, are the kings of Media and Persia, Israel, you know, let no man say nothing, amen, praise God. And the rough gold is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. And now, that being broken, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, but not in his power. Now, we're talking more about that now. Now, how about the ram? According to the interpretation of this thing that we just read now, the ram symbolized an empire of dual power, you know, consisting of the Medes and the Persians, right there. But the Persians rose to supremacy or superiority, as shown by one horn rising higher than the other. The prophet beheld the rapid conquest of that empire as he pushed westward, northward, and southward. Now, what about the he-goat? Suddenly, in the vision, an he-goat, I will call it a flying he-goat, because Bible didn't touch the ground, right? Praise God. Bible didn't touch the ground. How would the Bible say this idea? Flying he-goat, if you want to, appears and comes rushing at the ram from the west. And the interpretation says that the notable horn was the first king of Grecia. All historians know that the first king of Grecia is none but Alexander the Great. Praise the Lord. Now, what it is, history, all historians know that, you know. So, history shows this was Alexander the Great, whose swift advance struck the ram. And we know the ram, you know, the Medes and the Persians, a shattering blow, effecting the overthrow of the Medo-Persian Empire. Even we know in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, right? We know what happened and so on, the head of gold and so on. Anyway, let's just go forward right now. And we know in history, in the year 334 BC, Alexander the Great, in a he-goat-like fashion, leaped across the Hellespont. And if you are wondering what is that, Hellespont is a body of water, narrow body of water, between Greece and then Turkey. So it is straight, you know. And he leaped across it, you know, Hellespont, they call it, in the ancient one. And after defeating the enemy in a series of decisive battles, pushed southward to the Nile in Egypt. And then all the way to India he went, you know. This mighty general successfully conquered Syria, Phoenicia, Cyprus, Gaza, Egypt, Babylonia, and Persia. The prophet indicated that when the he-goat was at the height of his power, his great horn was broken. This was a prediction by Daniel the prophet, you know, of the early and sudden death of Alexander the Great. All the soldiers know that he died after he had reigned for only 12 years. It's often said in his brief life, ended in an orgy of drunkenness and debauchery. It's a common saying that he had cried for more wars to conquer, you know, but he could not conquer himself. So it has a common historian's talk, right? So but Daniel the prophet prophesied these things ahead of time. Major things in history have been prophesied ahead of time by the Holy Scriptures. No other book in this world can do that. Praise God. Only the Almighty God, who is the creator of all the end of the earth, who caused the end from the beginning, only can forecast it like that. Praise God. And foretold what has come to pass. See? Now, in Daniel 8:22, we are told, now, that being broken, meaning that horn, whereas four stood up for it, four kingdoms shall stand up out of the nation, that the Grecian Empire, right? But not in its power. How we can look at history, how this is fulfilled. Here's the fulfillment. Following the death of Alexander the Great, his four generals, they even named them Cassander, Lysimachus, Seleucus, and Ptolemy, divided the empire into four great divisions. What are the nations? That's Syria, Egypt, Macedonia, and Asia Minor. This is history. Prophesied by Daniel, centuries before, you know, it took place right there, you know. So we see, out of one of these divisions went forth a little horn, the little horn of the Grecian Empire. Don't forget that one of those generals, it's called Civicus, right? So that's what you think at the Cilicia dynasty, right? Anyway, out of them, that is in Daniel 8:9. Let me read that again. Out of one of them came forth a little arm, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven. And it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground and stamped them upon them. Now it says in verse 11, yea, he magnified himself to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. See? And that's what Daniel was writing years and years and years before that. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And an oath was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression where the Jews sin, right? And it cast down the truth to the ground, and its practice and prospered. Then I heard one saint speaking. Another saint said unto that certain saint which spoke, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto me, unto 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, so there is a twofold, this is a twofold application of prophecy. Many Bible prophecies have double, triple fulfillment. See? Now, so what happened here is just a fulfillment that will come to pass in the future again. History shows there have been a kind of fulfillment of that prophecy in these verses, in the days of the four divisions of Alexander the Great Empire, those four kings and so on, centering around one of those kingdoms, Antiochus Epiphanes. His father was Antiochus III. This is Antiochus the IV, under which this thing happened. What happened under his reign? However, though it happened at that time in history, we will expand on it soon, the characteristics of the little arm indicate that the main fulfillment of the prophecy was to be in the last days, or just before the second coming of the Lord Jesus. That is alluded to in Daniel 8:19. Here, what he said about it. And he said, behold, I will make thee know what shall be in the last end of the indignation. For at the time appointed, the end shall be. So we know it has a fulfillment about the time the Lord comes again. Now, so let's see the little on in history, the time that we talk about, Antiochus Epiphanes or Antiochus the IV. Those Antiochus Epiphanes, who lived 200 years before Christ, is only a type and not the main character of the fulfillment of this little arm, as we know. Now, Antiochus Epiphanes was the 8th king of the Seleucid dynasty. Don't forget, one of the four generals was called Seleucus, right? That's a dynasty to it. So this guy, this Antiochus the IV, is the 8th king of that dynasty. These are all in the Syrian area, right? He usurped the Syrian throne in about 175 BC and reigned 11 years in Antioch. He was a notorious tyrant. He was an oppressor of the Jews. Like Daniel 8:9-14 says, and foretold of his insolent and blasphemous attempt to wipe out all the Jews that live in Syria. He was compelling them to forsake the Jehovah worship and to take the Hellenistic, meaning all the various gods of the Greeks. He was forcing them, and some of them pushed back, as we're going to see right now. So anyway, later on, he had to invade Jerusalem. That's how bad he was. He invaded Jerusalem, So let's go. So he opposed the high priest, which at that time is Onias 3, and took away the daily sacrifice as ordered by Moses in Exodus 29. Just at Second Temple, they call it, he took away the sacrifice right there. He took it away. Not only did he oppress the Jews, he made them to stop the daily sacrifice right there. This is all history, matching the Bible Daniel said, we do it. So he climaxed this his evil career by a supreme act of blasphemy in the temple. He erected a pagan shrine in the Holy of Holies. He did. Even history bears it out. With swine's broth, and setting up the statue of the sky and thunder god. That means Zeus in Greek or Jupiter in Roman. You know, he did. That's in the Holy of that. He so hated the Jews, you know, and he knows what the Jupiter didn't like. He did the same thing he did. You know, brought swine in the Holy of Holies and erected satanic image right there, you know. So, and so now there came a great revolt. They call it the Maccabean Revolt. Many pious Jews, meaning many zealous Jews, you know, and so on, you know, they resisted these measures to this Hellenize them, to make them to worship the Greek, the Grecian, or the god of Greece, and so on, that, you know. Some of them were martyred. They didn't care. They were ready to fight to death, you know. Others by escaping into the wilderness. And see others by active revolt. So most prominent of these revolts, or rebels, they call them, was a group led by the man called Mattathias of Modin, and he had five sons, you know, of whom Judas Maccabeus proved to be the most able, and drew the rest of the Jewish rebels into his camp. In fact, by the way, that Maccabeus means the hammer. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. He was tough, you know.
Hammer.
He was tough, and he did exploits too, you know. So he was one of the five children of Mattathias, you know, and he took the lead. Judas Maccabeus and his band of rebels staged guerrilla warfare against the Hellenized Jews. He did, and Antiochus backed them up by dispatching the armies of Greek, right, of Greek army, and so on, against them to intervene in a series of attacks against the rebels. But this armor man, he miraculously successfully crushed each of the attacks, even the Grecian army. He crushed them. He took back, because he went to Jerusalem, he took back Jerusalem in 164 BC. This also, you know, he did. So the temple was dedicated when he got it back. An 8-day holiday of Hanukkah was created. That's why it began. This idea, that's why I'm going to all tonight and go, was created, molded on the 8th holiday of Sukkot. That's another thing about this holiday, when they began it. You know, their menorah thing has 7 candles, I guess it is, you know. Mm-hmm. They were to burn. Now, so what happened was that, according to some legends, so when they light a candle, they say that enough olive oil just to burn for one day. Mm-hmm. But miraculously, the thing born for 8 days, you know, by a miracle. That's why you got the 8 from. So from that one, that's how they began the 8 as well. Miraculously, just the oil to last one day, miraculously, that's it for 8 days. So they now begin to do this 8-day holiday before the Anoka or the dedication. Everywhere you have the Jews. Yeah, everywhere you have, it's all about the place now. Anoka is a popular holiday among the Jews. Even some Christians join them. I don't know why they do that, you know.
Yeah, we join them
first. If you want to, begin for tomorrow, so you can begin for tomorrow.
Is it fasting?
No, they don't fast. In fact, they eat, it's food. It's a festival of food. Yeah, yes. Life and food, you know. So, and this year, like I said, the holiday begins tomorrow at 12:10 and so on. Don't forget the Lord was there in Jerusalem. It was around winter, right? It matches everything. So the period of time for now, another mystery is this. The period of time, the Maccabean Revolt, which is 168 BC, to their capture of Jerusalem and dedication of the temple in 165 BC, matched what that 13 man said. You know how he said, how long the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and the transgression of desolation to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot. And Daniel 8:13-14. Now, at this point in the vision, what did Daniel say? What did he say? Suddenly, he heard one saying, speaking to another, asking how long the sanctuary be trodden underfoot. Where in the Hebrew, the King James Version say, he called it a certain man, right? But in the original Hebrew, the name of the saint that Daniel had speaking was called Parmoni. That's in Hebrew. That's right. Parmoni. But King James Version do it differently. It nominates the number of secrets, or the wonderful number. All it means, the Parmoni. That's what it means in Hebrew, And but King James Version render it indirectly. You call it a certain saint, but the Hebrew is Parmoni, the wonderful number. That's where it came from. So the answer was 2,300 days. Then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. And we now notice something. Now, so 2,300 days. Now, again, King James Version misses something. It actually means 2,300 evenings and mornings. That's what it really means, That number that is said, And we are told in Exodus 29, I don't want to go there tonight, 29, 38 to 43. So there are to be two offerings daily, actually. So instead of 2,300, and you have two offerings per day, it's supposed to be actually 1,150 days altogether, because it's 2,300 offerings. And according to Exodus 29, 38 to 43, there are to be two of them in a day. So that will be 1,150. Now, it turns out that from the revolution of the Maccabees to the capture of Jerusalem was exactly 1,150 days, So matching the number, what the number said, accordingly, So we see. So as mentioned earlier, the characteristics of this little urn indicate that the main fulfillment of the prophet. So he went to the temple of that day and polluted it, right? It's just a minor part of the prophecy that is coming another, one at the end of the age, as we all know, by the coming of the Lord. So, and in Daniel 8:19, and he said, "Behold, I will make thee to know what shall be in the last end of the indication, for at the time appointed the end shall come." So, does this now explain why the Lord Jesus stopped by at the feast of dedication? See what I'm saying? He foreknew that the future fulfillment of the prophecy. He gave the prophecy anyway. He is the Almighty God, right? He called the end for the beginning. Is that the reason why he provided that he was there at the feast of dedication? Why will he be there? Because he knew that coming a greater fulfillment of the same prophecy. I believe so, The Bible didn't say that. I don't know why the Lord will stop there, So anyway, even this one. Later the Lord Himself now foretold about another tyrant to come, the Antichrist at the end, who will pollute the temple. Now that is in Matthew 24. Let's see what it says, verse 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet." See? "Stand in the holy place." That's for the future, right? "Stand in the holy place. There will be another one coming, another temple coming." Revelation 11 says so, right? The tribulation temple is coming. So to stand up there, whosoever read it, let him understand. Amen. Praise God. "Then let them that which are in Judea flee into the mountain. Let them which are on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes." So the Lord begins to, he foreknew that there be another fulfillment of that prophecy in the greater dimension near his second coming. Even the epistles bear the same out, as I'm going to finish here tonight. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning from verse 3, speak of the same thing. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away forth. And that man of sin, like Antiochus Epiphanes, be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God, all that is worshipped, so that he, as God, seated in the temple of God, showing himself that that he is God." Now we know. Very crucial scripture of our time now, because we are living right now. And we know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. What bars of scripture will hold on to in days like this, you know? All kind of rumors flying over here, all kind of interpretation of what is happening and so on. One thing we know, according to the scripture, we believe he that letteth is still letting, eh? Until he be taken out of the way. That Isaac can't do a thing until the Holy Ghost be taken out of the way. Now, don't forget, the Holy Ghost won't leave the earth. Only will no longer hinder anything anymore, amen? It won't stop him anymore because the iniquity has now, you know, they are filled up, right? So anyway, so we can count on the word of the Lord. No matter what he threatens to do, no matter what he has to do, we know it has said we let until that time, you know, until he takes out of the way. And we know that time the church is gone. We believe God. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. We do not be afraid of anything, you know. Yeah, we should open our eyes. Don't bury our heads in the sand. No. We watch and pray. Watch therefore and pray always. Bible says. Anyway. And then, but it shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. That is the power of the devil today, really, you know. Lying. It's a deceiver, right? You know, that is his power. So the Christian who knows where he's standing, the Bible says that we can quench all his fiery darts, amen. We don't believe to him in that area. He can do things when you are lying to do it, but you are not at his mercy, amen. Under the blood of Jesus Christ and the name of the Lord Jesus, you are not at his mercy at all. Praise God. In fact, of you and I, when we know our time, resist him and he will flee. How the Bible says, resist the devil and he will flee. But God's children, they are waiting for God to do something by the devil. You know, the Lord has done all he has to do by the devil. Amen. Already. It's now left to you and I to resist him. Bible says he must flee. And don't forget, at the end of time, it takes just an angel, one of those who refuse to rebel with him, to put in the bottomless pit, really. You know, just an angel. Not the Lord putting in the bottomless pit. It's an angel. Praise the Lord. Can you see how little he is? Amen. It's a dead dog. You are only troubling yourself when you are kicking a dead dog, right? You know? No. Take your stand. Bible, I give unto you power. Amen. Over some of the power, all the power of the enemy. Are we using it, really? But we are going to get there, amen?
Amen.
By practicing the scriptures, amen?
Amen.
Meditating on the scriptures.
Amen.
And watching and praying. He has given it unto us already. I give unto you power. Luke 10:19, amen?
Amen?
Power over all the power of the enemy.
Amen.
And you tread upon serpents, upon scorpions, and nothing shall by enemies hurt you, amen?
Amen?
The word of God is our defense. Faith is a defense, the shield of faith. Praise God. Let us use this daily as God has given it unto us. So anyway, and so the elect of God, verse 13, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for all the elect of God, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God has from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Amen. That is the elect of God. Praise God.
Amen.
Now, our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which has loved us and has given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts. Amen. And establish you in every word and work. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So when you hear the subject of the Jews and so on, the Lord himself stopping there at Jerusalem around the winter time and so on, the feast of dedication, I believe the Lord knows that, you know, there's a coming, a greater prophetic fulfillment of the same thing, like Antiochus Epiphanes. Daniel prophesied of it before, you know, then it was fulfilled around 300 years before the coming of Christ, and has coming a greater one. You see, there'll be a cleansing of the temple too. When he polluted this, there's coming the millennial temple too, the last one, the end of the age. Praise the Lord. All this is saying that, you know, our heart be established, knowing the truth and rejoicing in the Lord, knowing that the time of the end is here. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight. We worship you, Lord. All the events around us, Bible talk about them already. If by the grace of God we know how to read them, they are all in the Bible one way or the other. So we thank you for our Jewish brethren. Lord, we thank you for what grace you have shown unto us, the Gentiles, Lord. That, O Lord God, that you blinded them, that you may bring us in India. Well, you know, Apostle Paul, you know, pray for them. All truth Israel shall be saved. You know, he said it has bled for his brethren, you know, the Jew and things like that, you know. So Lord God, we just pray for them that, Lord, as you end the age, we know they're going to go through so much in the days to come. That's coming the day of Jacob's trouble, you know. All the persecution they have encountered in the war, they put upon themselves, let his blood be upon us, they said, and upon our children. So was it, they were ensnared by the word of their mouth. But our heart goes on to them, Lord. And we pray for the peace of Jerusalem too. They shall prosper that love her. So we thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, Gentiles, that they are counted to be fellow heirs in the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Lord, Father, thank you. And we are citizens of heaven. You know, we are joined here with the saints in the name of Jesus. Oh, what a glorious thing. What a joyous thing in the name of the Lord Jesus. So, Lord, we thank you, Father. Thank you for this time we are living in, Lord, to continue to guide us as we walk in the light of your word. If it were possible, you've won us already. You will deceive the very elect. But we know because of the word of God, because of the anointing, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we cannot be deceived. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Father, we thank you tonight as we go into the prayer session. Lord God, we know you're going to bless, and we know we serve the God that answered prayer. No prayer that we make in the will of God, and in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I go unanswered. Not one of them. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we can say of us as the Lord said, Father, we thank you because you hear us always, not sometimes, because by the Holy Ghost, we are going to be praying in the will of God. In the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. We worship and adore you, Lord. So therefore, all the time, we come boldly to the throne of grace. That's why I invited us. Don't pretend to be holy. Some say they are holy and become beggarly. So no, it doesn't like that. You know, he has paid so much, a tremendous price. You know, the Bible says himself, you know, he entered first of all into the Holy of Holies. For us, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For us, he entered the Holy of Holies. So come boldly there. In every prayer that you make, Lord, we thank you tonight, Lord, that you're going to hear us again, as you hear us always.
Amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We are going to be helping us tonight in this prayer session. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I think I'm explicit.